Siren Radio.
Quite right, too. Well, good morning, Shaylee McKenzie.
Morning, Alex.
Excellent. I know you've arrived just in time because you time it perfectly to listen to the weather forecast for Lincoln from Gibraltar with Gabriella Peralta.
Okay, so the weather for Lincoln is highs of 9 degrees centigrade, lows of 6 degrees centigrade. It's a mostly cloudy and misty day with light rain and drizzle.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Quite right, too. Okay, Gabriella, what's the situation, state of play post-Easter in Gibraltar? Is it all a case of, well, you know, now we're just gearing up for the run-up to Whitsuntide, and then effectively the year's over, we might as well look to 2019?
Well, it's... I don't know what's happening this post-Easter, but the weather's so bad around here. I don't know if it's in the UK, but it's just really, really rainy, and we're not used to having rain so late in the year. Well, we used to have April showers, but it's just got to the point where it's raining every single day, practically. So, yeah, that's our post-Easter, sad rain days.
Well, I mean, just given the weather forecast for Lincoln, we know it's a kind of a dreaky day, misty day from that perspective. I mean, Shaylee, you know, presumably from your own point of view, it's just wonderful, isn't it? Because it's just good weather all the time.
It's like very dystopian, and there's a lot of fog around.
But at least we're hallucinating and shedding some light in the otherwise gloomy environment of the whole sort of sequence that's actually there. Have you ever actually been concerned, Gabriella, in terms of life, the universe, and various other things about the little things, you know, the kind of the minor things that you might sort of think, yes, it's the devil's in the detail and so on, and ultimately we're concerned about the little things in life that make a big difference?
I've never really thought too much about it. True, little decisions every day make a change in your life.
Yeah, well Emily Attack, who will be joining us in the second part of the production, will be commenting on research from Simply Be Perks that's revealed that little things make a big difference to women, with three-quarters agreeing that a compliment is the number one thing that makes them feel good inside. That's followed by a thoughtful gesture of kindness from a stranger, a surprise present, getting a shopping bargain, and a spontaneous hug. I mean, does that resonate with yourself in Gibraltar, Gabriella, or is it a case of no?
Depends on if it's a stranger spontaneously hugging me, then probably not. Someone walking down the high street and you get a spontaneous hug.
Exactly. A spontaneous combustion. It could be, who knows what could happen.
I think I'll be a bit worried. It depends if it was from family. I think that'd be fine.
Yeah.
But it does make sense. I think it works with everyone, isn't it? Everyone likes to have finding money on the street or having a good day in general will make a difference to someone's life for that day at least.
Shaylee, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, I agree. I think if a stranger hugged you, that would be pretty freaky. But I've just read that 1 in 10 women think their pet is their most loyal companion.
Which, of course, brings us neatly round to the whole essence, exactly, of you know, the real piece, etc.
Would you say Frodo is loyal?
Well, Frodo's not loyal. No, he sells himself. He doesn't... For food, he does. So
treats,
be best friends
and biscuits.
To anyone who gives him food. But for example, I walked in from work yesterday to my parents' house where he'd been spending the day. Completely ignored me. Just lay down in his bed, didn't care. My boyfriend walks in from behind me. Guess who gets a great greeting?
It's because he had the treats.
It's not fair.
Yeah, the deliverer of the food, the whole sort of sequence from that perspective.
I take care of him and his mother.
Yeah.
And he cares about every other human more than me.
And you're,
he's so used to seeing me every day.
He just takes you for granted.
Me.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
we're going to have to have some serious words with respect to Frodo and get some serious agony aunts and uncles in of the canine variety to clearly start addressing this issue, because it's not on. And as you rightly said, Shaylee, when women were asked what they felt, who they felt was their sort of key sort of thing, parents topped the list with over a third agreeing that whilst 1 in 10 people say it's their pet who's the most loyal. from that perspective, it's wonderful. Anyway, so it goes. And have you managed to see Ready Player One as yet, Gabriella?
I did see it. Mm-hmm. It was quite good, actually. I really did enjoy it. And it's got a lot of what they call Easter eggs, so like references to other TV shows and games. So apparently, I read online it has about 200 and something characters. It's, I don't know how much I'm going to ruin on the film, but it's basically set on a virtual reality.
It's an alternative world called Oasis, which by the time we get to the 2040s will probably be what we're in. How do we know we're already in an alternative world called Siren Radio?
I definitely hope this isn't my Oasis.
Well, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
This funny little thing we call life.
It's a strange and bizarre and yet wonderful world. We spoke about Frodo, of course. Is he actually conscious now, or have you just given up the will? I mean, is he just saying, that makes no difference. He doesn't care for me anyway.
Well, he's decided that the heater is more interesting than me, so he's gone to the other room where the heater is.
I'm beginning to question this research.
There's a tension here, which, I suppose the best of relationships, there's always a certain amount of tension that comes through on that basis, but ultimately we'll need to elaborate further. I would have brought in Phil Dennis from Los Angeles to talk about this, but he's too busy packing the lady killers off to distribution.
Nice.
It's okay. So he will, but he has seen our entry, or rather Holly McGee's entry, into the wonderful world of the 48-Hour Film Challenge, and he'll be commenting on that next week, which means when Holly's on the show next Wednesday evening, the challenge for her will be if she wants to actually find out what Phil Dennis makes of the movie, she really will need to be actually around on the Thursday morning as well. You could argue, could she not just listen in and text in? Of course, that is a possibility, but we'll just see if that occurs to her. Okay, just put that out there. Okay, Shaylee, would you like to put those final two questions to Gabriella Peralta, who I think it's been a bit about the weather, really. You know, Frodo's no longer loving her. Frodo, you know, despite all of the sacrifices that she's actually made over the last years, you know, day in, day out.
Don't understand.
Always there, etc. And Frodo, meh, you know.
He's tired of seeing my face every day.
I can't.
Walk in the door after work. He's just...
It's
not like I care about him, walk him, feed him, bathe him. No.
We're going to have to bring on board some major psychology things here to work this through so that we'll begin to address this factor, because it could have so many knock-on effects, really. Maybe we should actually put it to Chris Packham, who's actually talking to her students on Monday at the University of Lincoln in an open session for the public as well. Maybe, you know, Chris might understand something with his wildlife experiences about how to deal with a dog who's fallen out of love with you.
Animalist.
For no reason. You know, it's just somebody,
Should try stop feeding him and then see.
Reduce his Instagram comments. Yeah. Reduce his
dog,
Instagram
the
pics.
Dog, so he loves me.
You're not eating until you say you love me.
Yeah. I think he does love me.
He just doesn't like to show it.
He's more excited for new people.
This is true.
Well, there we are. Anyway, the two questions need to be asked, so take it away, please, Miss McKenzie.
Gabriella, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, I have, thank you.
Excellent to hear. And will you be back next Thursday?
Hopefully, yes.
Every hour, every day I'm learning more. The more I learn, the less I know about before. The less I know, the more I want to look around. Digging deep for clues on high ground. The moon and the stars sit where I fly. The earth and the trees beneath the light. The wind blows fragrant love by. The cooler night will be night. On the wing the birds fly free. The violet and Thames and the sea. The flower waits for honeybee. The sunrise waits for life in me. Every hour, every day I'm learning more. The more I learn, the less I know about people, the less I know, the more I want to look around, digging deep for clues on high ground. The fishes swim while rivers run, and the fields to feast like eyes of fun, intoxicated drinking from the loving cup of burning sun. In dreams I'll pray for baby taste,
whispered in a weary face, kisses sweet and warm embrace, another time, another day. Every hour, every day, learning more. The more I learn, the less I know.
So, the kind of music, I believe, Shaylee McKenzie, you were brought up on with your parents and so on. UB40, a blast from the 1980s past.
I was indeed. Oh. And all sorts of ska and reggae, like the Specials.
Fantastic. It could almost be the ultimate musical where we have a ska soundtrack to a Chris Dowes lecture. Is that right, Chris?
I like a bit of Nutty Boy, me. Like a bit of ska. I saw Madness in Concert in 1985. It's all good.
Precisely, our house in the middle of the street, which and home and so many other sort of fantastic things.
Absolutely.
Chris, it's a very brief session with yourself today. I mean, just a time to say a quick hello to Richard Fitzwilliams. Good morning, Richard.
Hello.
Marvellous. Two movies that Richard will be going into in a few moments, A Quiet Place and Wonderstruck. I don't know if they've come off on your radars yet, Chris. But
Quiet Place has, yeah.
Shh. Horror and a whole variety of other things, but I won't take Richard's sort of line away from that. Are you back for a longer session with us next week, Chris?
I'm hoping so. It depends rather on my lovely students, because I've got lots and lots of workshops and seminars coming up now because they're all working on their work. So I'm availing myself
before 9 a.m.
before 9 a.m.
That's
learner
very good.
First, you see, learner first. That's the way it goes here.
Of course,
at Lincoln University.
Student as co-producer, co-engager, and other sort of factors.
Absolutely right.
Much like what we do on the program.
Oh, that's beautiful.
We will see you in the very near future. Then,
will we? Good
Chris
to see you all.
Excellent stuff. And a reminder: you can actually see Chris Dowes's fantastic work for Star Trek magazine by getting hold of a copy in most good bookshops as well.
What a plug!
Do you think so?
Much.
Yeah, I could talk about Warhammer as well, but we won't, because otherwise we'll go into all sorts.
We'll be
of
here things. Forever.
We would indeed. And instead of putting their feet up at 91, the Queen and Sir David Attenborough are doing their bit to save the planet, as filmmaker Jane Trays reveals in the Radio Times this week with The Queen's Green Planet. Will you be watching that, Richard Fitzwilliams, Monday at 9 o'clock, where Sir David Attenborough, of course, and Her Majesty the Queen wander around the oaks of Indian chestnuts and a whole variety of other bits and pieces in a survey about, obviously, Queen of the Forest?
All right, Mr. Sir certainly will. One of the interesting aspects of this, I mean, both of them are 91, and apparently a drone at one point appears. The Queen listens and looks up and says, oh, it's so noisy. Perhaps it's President Obama or President Trump. This is very, very entertaining. I was doing a piece on CNN which included a clip from it, and one of the things that, which is fascinating as perhaps a legacy, one of the many legacies of the Queen, is the Commonwealth Canopy, Saving the Rainforests. And it's something that may help, what I'm hoping is, with the Commonwealth Heads of Government conference opening on Monday, and the Queen, of course, as head of the Commonwealth, able to preside, that she might be recommended for a Nobel Prize. After all, without her, I don't think we'd have the Commonwealth.
I would agree with you on that one. Before we actually move into the movie reviews, though, we have special breaking news from the John Wenham Events Diary setup. Good morning, John, of course. You're just a smidgen away from 91 yourself. Only kidding, John. But
it's only a smidgen, exactly. I must admit, yeah.
How much of a smidgen?
I'd say 13 years.
13 years.
Wow. Well, the Queen is the role model for you. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about that.
Many's the time when we used to share an office back in the day, so to speak, where John Wenham would say, do you know, ultimately, my total role model is Her Majesty the Queen. He still hasn't got.
Isn't she words. Everybody's role model?
Well, she's certainly somebody. I would say I would call her the lass unparalleled. Quote from Shakespeare's Antony and Cleopatra.
Nice one. We'll be promoting, obviously, the excitement of the book sale that's taking place tomorrow, Friday the 13th, at the book place that is The Joys of Oxfam. More on that later. But, John, what on your piece of wonderful yellow paper would you like to reveal for the radio listener to Siren Radio is going to be coming up shortly?
Well, I had an email in. I've just picked it up this morning from the Newark Air Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were holding an aeroboot sale. This was cancelled when the snowy weather arrived. And they are reholding this, or they have rearranged it for this coming Saturday. It will be between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. But I think the sale will take place between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. But there are plenty of enthusiasts and sellers coming from all over the country. They asked us to make a note of it. Could we please mention it?
Well, we just have, John. We've given ample scenario on that basis.
There is a number to contact if you want more information. Either go to their website, which is the Newark Air Museum, Aeroboot Sale. We'll pick it up on the website there. Or you can ring Newark number 01636 707 170,
and you'll find out all about it. In terms of the whole sequence, if that was too quick for you, don't worry, the podcast will be up later as well. You can listen again to that point. Thank you, John. That was wonderful. Richard, don't say anything. Somebody's going to attack you.
I think not. In fact, complete silence, please. A quiet place is very demanding when it comes to the matters of noise. And it's a very, very effective horror movie. Now, if you have a surprise, I have to say, I must reveal this. Michael Bay is not a name that you link with subtlety. The maker, the Transformers, Pearl Harbor, called Pearl Howler by some. I mean, his production company is behind this movie, and it's directed by John Krasinski, who stars in it with his wife in real life, Emily Blunt, playing his wife in a world which, frankly, isn't very enviable, because this movie, it takes some time to get used to, but you get gradually sucked in. It's absolutely fascinating, audiences, because it's a horror movie. As you know, I'm not especially fond of the genre, but in 2020, not long to go, few humans are left, and a race of blind aliens, monsters in fact, hypersensitive to sound, are hunting down the remaining humans. And we meet a family, the Abbotts, Lee, played by John Krasinski, and Evelyn, his wife, played by Emily Blunt, his deaf daughter, Megan, played by Millicent Simmons, one of the most extraordinary coincidences that both Quiet Place and Wonderstruck star Millicent Simmons, an excellent actress, and their sons, Marcus, played by Noah Jupe, and Beau, who in fact disappears very early on in the movie. And something happens to him when he uses a toy space shuttle, inserts batteries in it, and it makes a sound. So all will gradually be revealed in this very eerie movie, which is quite weird and also, I have to say, in parts a bit mischievous. But the facts are that the family are living on their farm, and we see odd cuttings revealing the state of the outside world, but nobody seems to say anything. It's a while before you realize what's happening, and also you don't know what is going to happen because monsters are hunting down whatever humans remain, and they can turn up at any time, and that could be a cornfield, and it could also be inside a home. And Evelyn goes into labor, steps most memorably into the basement, I'm saying no more, and the basement is not a place that I think you will envy in, but this is a movie which is skillfully put together. It's slightly mischievous, and I have to say, climactically very mischievous. I didn't buy all of it, but it is a very, very intriguing idea, and it's extremely well acted, and though it is a bit of a tease, there's a knife-edge tension. I saw it in a public cinema, and it certainly had the audience hanging on every action, shall we say. And let's not give away too much, but the facts are that sound is all important, and also it's a clever, low-budget, intelligent movie, which, as I say, associating this with Michael Bay is quite bizarre, but he's responsible for the funding.
Nice to see he's doing a bit of understated work in his advancing years. Shaylee, A Quiet Place.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely on my radar. I'm a massive fan of John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, so, yeah, definitely. It looks proper spooky.
And, John, will you be looking to seek out A Quiet Place in the near future as a case of My Whole World is a Quiet Place?
I don't know. I'm not usually much of a film...
Too busy umpiring for the cricket, really.
Well, I'll be doing that in about two... Well, and the season starts this coming... A week this coming weekend.
Yeah, well, there we are, you say. No time to actually go to the movies when you're actually having to watch the old bales being knocked over and various other bits and pieces.
Well, I'll be on my jollies, actually, that.
Well, there is that as well. Yeah. So a kind of uncertain one from Richard, Shaylee, definitely connected from that point of view. And Millicent Simmons, obviously the subject not just of one, but of two. Millicent Simmons, the subject not just of one, but of two wonderful recommendations from yourself this week, Richard.
Yes, it's extraordinary. I mean, she's only 15, and I have to say Wonderstruck was... it's more my sort of movie, I must admit, because horror films on the whole aren't, but praised the skill of A Quiet Place, but Wonderstruck is a very, very unusual mystery film. In fact, it's directed by Todd Haynes, who did Far From Heaven, and also the lesbian romance Carol, which was highly praised so well. And we have two stories. In 1927, Rose, played by Millicent Simmons, who plays, of course, a deaf girl on screen, runs away from her father's home to find her mother, the actress Lillian Mayhew, played by Julianne Moore. In 1977, Ben, an orphan, runs away from his Minnesota home to find his father. And this is, it's an extraordinary film because within it, looking at the world from the viewpoint of a child, and in both cases a deaf child. Ben has been struck by lightning, and this has made him deaf. And it's there are homages in this to those of us who are city lovers, and I include myself, I mean, I'm absolutely enthralled by the way it tells a story. And it tells a story so beautifully. It's visually, it is an extremely sensitive film. It's one of those movies that, I don't know, fairly empty cinema when I saw it, but I have to say, there's a beauty in this. There's also the meaning of childhood, and when you think back to the memories that you have and various objects that you remember, and also very small things, and the meaning of childhood, the meaning also of memory, and also, again, both these children are on very important personal journeys. So I was really enthralled by this movie. I found it very intriguing. I like Todd Haynes' work. And I have to say that I would recommend it. I mean, it's a thoughtful film. It's intelligent. It's beautifully shot. But what is absolutely enthralling, I love New York, and we see New York in the 1920s, and it's filmed in monochrome, and then we see New York in the 1977. It's rather like seeing for Midnight Cowboy or some such. Fascinating, colour, vibrant, dynamic, an extraordinary experience. Also, with a model of New York, I will say no more, features very, very substantially in this movie, and so do rather intriguing flashbacks to the various lives of its characters. Oakes Fegley must get a mention as Ben. The child actors are terribly, terribly good. And also there is a very great favourite of mine, Michelle Williams, briefly appearing. I was enthralled by this. Williams is all appearances, as I mentioned, all too brief, as the mother of Ben, who dies in a car accident, and so he has to find his father. I mean, the fact that this movie may not be believable is to look at it, I think, in the wrong level. What it does is we look back to childhood and our memories and so forth, and also we look back at the way we see cityscapes change, and we say see life moving on, not necessarily in a way that's, in all cases, a good way, but in a way that's somewhat enthralling. I mean, there are visuals in this movie which are absolutely beautiful. If you love cities, you'll love this movie. If you're interested in looking back and thinking about your childhood and the memories that you have, I think it will fascinate you. And if you're looking at a mystery, because there are mysteries that both children have to solve, then I think that will draw you in too. So I absolutely loved it. Millicent Simmons, incidentally, is a marvellous actress. I mean, all the characters here again. I mean, where does one say this? There are no poor or no miscast characters. Supporting cast is lovely. I think it's probably obvious that I'm rather enthralled by one. I'm wonder struck by it myself.
John, memories of the way we were. Would you be checking out Wonderstruck?
Do you know, that looks quite an interesting picture to go and have a look at. I think if it came my way, I might...
You would cast your eye over it.
My eye over it.
Sure. It's one of those movies where I fear, because of a limited distribution, you would have to make the effort.
Watch it online on your mobile device, Richard. It's an Amazon Prime.
No, well, I mean, you're doing a Darren Aronofsky.
Exactly.
I know. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of fighting on this. You wait till Cannes and the trouble about with reference to Netflix and how you see movies. Lots of problems still there.
It's despite the story. The story.
Netflix movies got, I think, it was 8 nominations in the last Oscars. So it's either going to be peace or war.
Exactly. Much of the same thing being said over Syria and shiny new missiles, I gather. But anyway.
Well, exactly. I was drawing a parallel. I'm glad you picked up instantly on it.
Shaley, will you be heading to see Wonderstruck?
So it probably takes second place compared to A Quiet Place. Mm-hmm, but no, it looks like a really interesting buildings Roman, definitely.
It's such an unusual film, you know, looking at two deaf children and how they basically, how they cope arriving in a city, what happens to you, and when you want to find a place and it's moved, and then perhaps you make a new friend, and of course people initially don't necessarily know you're deaf and so forth.
Yeah, it's really extraordinary.
And congratulations to Shaley for successfully using the concept of Bildungsroman from, of course, her English undergraduate work at the University of Lincoln in a wonderful film review, the whole notion of a coming-of-age tale. It's very good. It's
Thank
a
you.
New word of the day. Well
oh,
done,
excellent.
Yes,
well done.
Nice to see the Bildungsroman. In fact, I'm so impressed with that. Would you like to continue with your own Bildungsroman and ask Richard those last two questions, please, before we start celebrating the annual Care Home Open Day.
Indeed. Richard, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, I certainly have. And incidentally, I presume that the Care Home Open Day will include those who need a bit of help, who enjoy Mother and The Man from Uncle and other such movies, including Suburbicon. Sorry,
absolutely. Please, you know, let's just work our way through that. We'll be speaking to Professor Martin Green, OBE, and Sylvie Silva on what's coming up on April 21st. Yes, nationwide. It's your chance to actually check out care homes across the country.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got. For you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. How can I try to explain? 'Cause when I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go. Change, just sit down, take it slowly. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. All the times that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree, but it's them they know, not me. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know.
As we become more chronologically gifted, it would seem that clearly the quality of life is still very much to our hearts, and quite rightly so. But it would seem that when we've got loved ones to care about as well, and as they become more senior and approach the latter period on the planet Earth, the quality of where they're actually going to be staying is a major decision. Indeed, 70% of people have admitted that choosing a care home is one of life's biggest stressors. So ahead of the 21st of April annual Care Home Open Day, we're delighted to welcome two wonderful fine souls, Professor Martin Green, OBE from Care England being the first of those two. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning.
And Sylvie Silver, the Director of the National Association of Providers of Activities for Older People, being the other. Good morning, Sylvie.
Good morning.
Sylvie, if we can come to your good self, because clearly the energy that's coming across already from yourself says, look, just because you're heading into a care home doesn't mean you give up on life and so on. There are lots of things that can be worked through on this particular aspect. How surprised were you by these figures that sort of point out that actually choosing care for a loved one is indeed one of life's most stressful decisions, equivalent to getting married or indeed choosing their children's school?
Not at all surprised, because it's one of those one-off decisions in life. It's not something we're used to doing. It's not something we're comfortable with. And very often you're making a decision on behalf of somebody else as well, which is also a challenge. So, you know, a bit like choosing a school place for a child, people get used to the system and there are structures in place. We don't have any of that previous experience to guide us when it comes to choosing a care setting.
Martin, a part of the life in the 21st century is it does become very stressful, and actually, without going down the line saying, well, why don't we just do what the Eskimos apparently do, and when people get to a certain age, they just wander off into the snow, effectively. No, don't go there. But we do have this challenge of how do we actually cope with people who clearly... We very much care about, but we want to ensure that they get the best care whilst we're also sorting out our own particular activities.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the issue, that you are trying to look for care for somebody you really love, but you've also got your own life to lead often, and that can be really stressful. So I think one of the things that we are really encouraging people to do with Care Home Open Day is to go and visit care homes long before they're at the point where they need to make a decision either for themselves or indeed for somebody that they love, because it is quite stressful. And of course, the other thing is, we're all coming to terms not only with the fact that we need a care home, but we're coming to terms with the fact that we probably have lost some of our ability to do things because of a stroke or a fall or something that's happened in our lives. So all those things come together, and it does make it very, very stressful for people.
One of the themes of this year's Care Home Open Day is indeed linking communities. And Sylvie, if we can turn to your good self again, this would seem to, again, be fairly important, because one of the elements that sometimes manifests itself is that folk, partly through cultural challenges and cultural differences, etc., have got lots of prejudgments already built in, and they might sort of be very concerned about having to engage in another culture or connect with other folk and so on.
Yes, it saddens me immensely when I hear people say, oh, I'm never going to go in a care home, don't ever do that to me, or someone says to their children, don't put me in a home. And it's sad language we use. You know, we only put people in jail or care homes. I'd rather people got used to the idea that a care home's part of the community. It is a hub, the same as a school is a hub. And it can be that way if people connect with them, start visiting them, seeing them, maybe volunteer in one, or get your youngsters maybe looking for a career in medicine, make great volunteers in care homes. That way you build relationships, and you slowly begin to realise that they are not places to be feared. They can be the best possible choice for someone in that later stage of life when they need a bit of help and a bit of support. And I try really hard to break the image of care homes are full of bingo players and sing-song sessions. It's very much about your life and how you choose to leave it. And if good care homes are responding to that, the Care Quality Commission, who regulate care homes, visit homes and look for engagement, activity. What are people doing with their lives? How are they spending their days? And that's what we want the community to do, is go into a care home and see contented, happy people enjoying their lives.
earlier this year, of course, we had the story about care homes being presented with pole dancers, which, again, I would say, what's wrong with that? From your own perspective, would you say that that health matters? Because, again, it's not simply a case of, as you just said, there's certain traditional activities which are actually there. We need to almost revisit and rethink the kind of activities that care homes are actually are offering their residents.
That's absolutely what our charity's about. It's about a meaningful life for everyone. And older people are all different. The same as you and I are different. I might enjoy tap dancing, you might enjoy surfing. Older people are exactly the same. There will be some who want to spend their days reading the newspaper, watching the telly and looking at the bird feeder outside the window. That's absolutely fine. There'll be others who want to socialise, who are happy to mix, and will be at every event the home lays on. And there's a broad spectrum of what should be on offer for those folk, including getting out and going out into the community. And we need more and more volunteers actually to support older people to be able to do that.
Martin, can you share with us a little bit more about Care Home Open Day 2018 and what sort of questions people should be asking if they do take the opportunity of actually visiting one of the open homes on April 21st?
Well, there is a website which is carehomeopenday.org.uk, and if you go onto that website, you'll be able to see which care homes in your local area are open, and you'll be able to see some of the activities that they're going to stage that day. I think the important thing for me when I go into care homes is to take the opportunity to talk to residents, to talk to families, to talk to staff, and to really get a feel of what it's like to live in a care home. And some of the most wonderful conversations I've had have been with care home residents, and they've been about anything and everything. And it's really great when you can walk into a care home, you can strike up a conversation with somebody, and what you find as well is that these people have such rich lives, and there are so many subjects on which they'll chat to you about. So go and talk to people, go and see what facilities are available. And linking to the point which Sylvie said, you know, care homes are really very different, and they do a lot of different activities. I mean, the pole dancing thing is a good example. If people want pole dancing in their care home, why not? It's their home, and they've decided they want it. So I think we need to sort of break the myth that all care homes are the same and that they're dull places to be. Some of the most happy times I've had have been with residents who've been at events or activities, and we've chatted and we've really enjoyed the time together.
I think surfing and tap dancing could be a new Olympic sport if we actually play it appropriately from that point of view. Sylvie, finally, from your own perspective, there are folk who might be listening to this who, because in our nuclear-based society, their family might have all sort of gone to different parts of the world, etc. They might be without family, etc. They might be thinking about care home. Would you say that Care Home Open Day is also for folk who might be thinking, if they're in the 70s, 80s, whatever, maybe actually sort of thinking, well, perhaps actually, yeah, I need to sort of downsize and this would be ideal for me?
Absolutely. And I think one of the great advantages of getting care homes integrated into the community is that it takes that fear factor away. So if you're an older person contemplating support and need, get to know a care home, go visit, go and see 10 of them. You know, if they're all in travelling distance, you can get there. They'll be more than happy to host you and see you. And there's nothing more reassuring for a family who may be a long distance away to know that their loved one is happy and enjoying life.
21st of April 2018 is the day for Care Home Open Day. That's the time when people can obviously sort of take advantage of the annual Care Home Open Day, as say this year, linking communities. But for today, having linked Professor Martin Green, OBE from Care England, and Sylvie Silver, Director of the National Association of Providers of Activities for Older People, NAPA, many thanks indeed.
Thank you.
Strangely enough, there was no mention in the entire interview about building your own hammock and using that, Ian Lennox, as a way of actually sorting through an activity. Maybe you could actually introduce that as a skill set you could take around the country on a kind of location report thing, you know, hammock building with Ian Lennox.
A very relaxing business it is. You sit and read and ponder the world.
Astonishingly, Ian.
Dennis isn't snowing.
He's not going to stop, is he? Astonishingly, Ian, I have a feeling that you might be not the most senior chronologically gifted soul again on the show, because I suspect John might just beat you. Can you share with us how many years you've clocked up, John Wenham? Yeah, I know, choking with emotion to actually just take that whole thing sort of through there. Okay, John, we'll take that again. How many years?
In September, yes. I will hit my 79
English years in September.
Good Lord, well done.
Exactly.
Well done, your medal's in the post.
Exactly. Well done, says Ian Lennox. You've done very well indeed. I know we've already heard of David Attenborough and Majesty the Queen, 91 from that perspective. So it's just a number, Ian. You know, that's what we constantly say. It's just a number. Don't worry about it. I mean, I know you're looking very well for a 105-year-old, but never mind.
You're presuming I'm worrying about it.
Oh, well, sometimes who knows what...
I'm worried about getting breakfast at the moment, tell you. Anyway.
Well, never mind. Let's move on from the sort of the pet conversation before we move on to cricket, etc. We found out earlier that it seems that Frodo is falling out of love with Gabriella Peralta. Is that the case with Ollie and Oboe, your cats? Are they falling out of love with you, Ian, or is there no sign of them whatsoever because, after all, one of them might be becoming visually impaired so they can't see any way, shape or form?
Well, the one who's visually impaired can still see enough to get around. Oh. And he seemed, I'm hoping... his debility's arrested and that he's not going to get any worse, because it was about 6 months ago and he's diagnosed, and he gets out through the cat flap, he jumps 3'6" onto a windowsill and then jumps onto an adjoining wall and reverses the process and goes out. He must be able to see a fair bit. And he's the dominant one. They don't get on as well as they used to.
Maybe he's the feline version of Daredevil. He actually has radar sense that can enable him to actually do all sorts of other bits and pieces.
Strangely, the other one's more adventurous. He goes away for much longer. And Ollie is more a home cat, and he sort of goes to sleep a lot more.
Could they be in any way, shape or form analogous with Ant and Dec? You know, one goes out and actually gets done for drink driving.
I've never really studied this species called Ant and Dec. I don't know. Their first part of their career was in a show called Biker Grove.
I know. I did their very first interview, Ian. They did their first interview with me.
Ah, no, I used to go to an actress who actually acted with them.
Was that Donna
Eyre? She was in the show with them.
Biker Grove! It's a wonderful thing. But we mustn't actually engage in northern material here, because clearly the southerners like John and Shirley will wonder what is happening here.
Well, no, I realised what Biker Grove was, but I think I'm thinking of something called Grange Hill.
Oh, no, different southern version.
That was a London school,
so
I think.
The better version.
Well, there was a suggestion that Biker Grove was actually the northeast version of Grange Hill.
Well, which came first?
Grange Hill. Hence the reason Biker Grove has been billed as a slight... and who knows what Samo is doing these days. Back in the day, probably have to find out on YouTube and so on. Anyway, let's talk cricket. John, is the prognosis good for Britain? I mean, given another disaster, Britain, England, in terms of the... Maybe we should have a British cricket team. That's a thought.
Well, we have, really, you know. We have Scots people and Welsh people playing, don't we? For the England side.
I think most of the... people who represent England are UK citizens as opposed to English citizens.
That's right.
Apart from Kevin Peterson, of course, and...
A lot of them have been born... Well, quite an appreciable number have been born in Africa or India as well.
Well, the likes of Alan Lamb and Kevin Peterson, who were naturalised British, because their parents had British... Both these players have
Tony Greig.
Tony Greig was a South African who became an Englishman, and then he played for England.
Mm-hmm. So there you are, Shaley. Tony Greig, your model to work.
In those days, you had to be resident in the country for 3 years prior to being able to be considered to play for your country.
Yeah. And it's actually really difficult to become a member of this country. Yeah. I remember my gran had to take a huge exam and had to be able to trace back all the monarchs back to like the beginning of this kingdom. It was really bizarre. And then I remember being at school and like asking my school, because obviously my gran was like, oh, did you know so-and-so was like the son of so-and-so? And I remember asking my, like, peers, and they had no idea, and they were born in England. And I was like, why is my gran had to take this stupid test that actual English person knows the answer to this question?
You can't just let anybody...
There'll be some blood in the civil servant, I know it. In triplicate somewhere.
I mean, who knows what could happen? I mean, you know, people like John Wendell coming out
I think, quite honestly, that one of the questions should be, recite the second verse of the national anthem.
And not the one about inglorious Scots and putting them down?
No, not that one.
Okay,
Not that one.
Well, it's an interesting
that I mean, only sounds mildly racist.
It's created an awful lot of problems. You don't get the same thing with Flower of Scotland, of course, nor indeed Faith of My Fathers, but that's a different line entirely. Ian, anything else you'd like to sort of add today, or what will you be doing today?
Oh, yes, I tell you. Congratulate Lincoln. They won the trophy.
I was wondering if you'd actually mentioned that.
Yes.
The Checker Trade Trophy against Shrewsbury, a 1-0 victory for Lincoln City, first visit to Wembley in 134 years, and they've come back with the pot.
You must be very proud, Alex, because they won more than Manchester City this week.
Yeah, we have to move on from refereeing challenges, refereeing disasters, and challenges on all sorts of other areas, and think let's just draw a veil over that and say, well, things could always be worse. We could have Mike Ashley in charge. Anyway, let's move on from that whole basis.
We're on complete agreement on that.
Well, there you are. There you are. Okay, moving on. John, as we said, cricket, do you think it's looking good for England? Are we going to do the business, or is it a case of no? It's just going to be a case of mild success followed by glorious failure.
No, I think any team has its ups and downs. But as far as the England team is concerned at the moment, I think what they've got to concentrate on is for someone to find someone who will take over from the likes of Anderson and Broad.
Yes.
Because, bless them, they can't go on forever. They are doing well at the moment, don't get me wrong, but they've only got about another 2 or 3 years at the most in them.
Yes.
And by that time, I think we ought to have someone in the firing line who will be able to deliver the goods for England.
There you are.
Yes, I agree with that entirely. And it's a perennial problem because I remember Truman Statham were the great...
Truman Statham, Higgs and
Snow. And then there's a gap. There's almost a gap, though. You can't replace... these are two great bowlers and you can't just manufacture them.
Well, the Higgs and Snow was a case in point. When they retired sort of in the 60s...
Yes.
It was probably towards the end of the 70s before we got anyone else.
That's right. Well, we had Truman bouncing around in the 60s.
We had Truman bouncing around in the 60s.
Tyson was another one.
Who?
Tyson, Frank.
Frank Tyson, yes, the fastest man recorded, actually.
Not to be confused with Mike Tyson, of course, who was a very important boxer.
Frank Tyson.
That was my immediate thought.
Exactly. Or Tyson Fury, another current boxer.
But you see, the thing is, it still applies not only to the bowlers, it's the batsmen as well. We've got to find someone who will be able to take over from Cook.
Yes. Best. We had a brilliant opening partnership about 7 or 8 years ago with Cook and Strauss.
Well, Triscothic and Cook.
Yes,
Triscothic
he was
and Strauss.
That's right.
Cook and Strauss, yes. I agree with you entirely. And we've got to find someone who can take over from Cook. We've got to find someone who will be able to take over from Johnny Bairstow.
Yes. The other thing, you know, is what I find quite pertinent about being a northerner is that if you took the Durham and Yorkshire players out of the England setup for the last 10 years, England would be very, very much...
depleted. Depleted, I think, is the phrase you look for.
I think depleted is the word, yes.
And
the way that Durham have been
tripped. Now destroyed Durham, exactly. there's a danger
let
of
it
not
go.
Bringing many,
let it
many
go,
players
Ian.
Through.
Let it be.
But I think, Ian, also, what we've got to think about is people with the temperament. It's all very well showing class in county size, but you've got to have the temperament not only on but off the field as well. And this is where some of the players are beginning to fall down now. Aka Stokes, shall we say, if he's found...
He's so naturally talented. I don't think the laws would really apply to him.
But you know what I mean. He's sort of... Shall we say, hanging in the balance on that score? We want a good all-rounder. We want someone to take over there again. We haven't had a decent all-rounder since Ian Botham, have we?
And now
not a great one. Not Stokes is up there, I think. But,
Stokes
not
is Reasonable.
And now Beefy Botham is advertising circulatory devices for various other bits and pieces. It's a strange world. Yeah. John, where are you performing as an umpire? I say performing as an umpire, obviously, in a kind of ironic sense there. In the weekend, where will people be seeing you?
Well, I shan't be doing anything for Fortnite, uh-huh. but I haven't really consulted my list properly at the moment, okay, but I have got my appointments out for this. I'll be able to let you know when I come back from holiday.
Well, there we are. That's what we like to hear. On this historic day where Ian Lennox has been in agreement not once but twice, actually, with people on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
I know. I don't like this sort of thing.
Who is this image that you actually popped up on the Ian Lennox Facebook page at the top there in terms of let's show this to Mark Zuckerberg? Is that your good self as a child, Ian?
I haven't seen that, so I don't know.
But surely it's your Facebook page. Does somebody actually write it for you? Or you...
No. Wait a minute now. Is that the black and white photograph of me with a little girl?
It is the black and white photograph.
Right, that's me, about 40 years ago, with my eldest daughter, Louise.
No. That's the inset. I'm talking about the one that's on the big...
The cover photo.
It's the cover photograph.
I feel like that is Ian Lennox.
I'm thinking, that is the Ian Lennox I know. I wasn't aware of him 40 years ago with obviously his daughter.
He's got a very thick head of hair.
Generation.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. Yes. So
those were the long haired days of the 70s.
Yes, that wasn't in the 70s. I think that was possibly the 1950s, really, possibly the 1960s. I don't know. we're just trying to work out the line of things. Shaylee, put the last two questions to Ian, please.
Ian Lennox, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, I have.
Perfect. And will you be back next week?
I do hope so.
See you later. I've been hoping somebody loves you in the